Bible study this week. You'll be blessed. Don't stay at home. Come on out. It's a good place to be. Amen. God is faithful, good to us. I want to thank the Lord for my wife today. I mean, I watched her minister and she's got so much grace going on. Amen. She has to have grace to live with me. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, so hallelujah. But I just love you and I'm so thankful for you, Holly. God is good. He gave me the right one. So, you know, she has two sisters. And I said, if I'd married her older sister, I would have slapped her. And if I married her younger sister, I'd have shot her. So God gave me the right one. I'm just being honest. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know. So, God is faithful. He's good. No, I'm just kidding. If you're a visitor, I'm just kidding. That's my, let you know. Holly, stand this morning to Hebrews chapter 10. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. oh, man. I am glad for grace. Aren't you? You know, we receive grace from God. But we need to receive grace from one another. And give grace to one another. Amen? Because Bobby said so good, we're all different. We're all in need of his grace. Amen? And I'm glad that he loves us just the way you are. Amen. He is so good. Hebrews 10, 35 through 36. Let's look at this morning. Praise God. Therefore, do not cast away what? Your confidence, which has great reward. Great reward. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive what? The promise of God. Don't throw away your confidence. Amen. Hold up your Bible this morning. Come on, say it like you mean it today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess. My mind is clear. That's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same in Jesus' name. And I declare that people are coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west to hear the message of God's grace and unconditional love, that this place will be full and overflowing, going to two and three services with people lining out the door waiting to hear the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. Woo! God is faithful. Turn to somebody and say, hey, God loves you today. He does. Hallelujah. God did not create you to operate, and I am preaching to myself, out of stress and worry. There are some personalities that are prone to that. I believe it's almost innate in some personalities that are prone to stress and worry. Now, it's really interesting. I was talking about Holly and how she is. She is just, her family, if you go around her family, they are chill people. They just, you know, I think about her sweet grandmother that went on to be with the Lord, how she was such a chilled person. She just enjoyed hanging out. You know, just chill. You know, you go to her parents' house, and her mom and dad, they're the same way. And Holly's got that personality. Now, you go to my family's house, and we're all like, ah! You know, my brother is like, he can't sit down now. I'm you know, prone to that. My brother is, like, extremely prone. I'm like, he can't sit still for 5 seconds, you know. And, you know, here's the thing, though. You know, when the girls, we had our girls, then they got, you know, personalities. Well, they got my personality. So especially Kay, that's like, you know, and Elise as well. But what I'm saying is some of you know what I'm talking about. We all have these different personalities make up our soul rim. But God does not want you living in stress. He doesn't want you living in anxiety. Amen. God wants you living in the place of rest. trusting in his completed work that he has for us. Hello, are you listening to me? So only when we arrive at the place will we see that manifestation of everything that we have. Because faith, amen, faith is given to us in our born-again spirit. And praise is the highest form of faith. It's that expression. Confidence in what God has done is that place of rest. When we have confidence in the work, the finished work of Jesus, we are at that place of rest. When we are at that place of rest, then we have the manifestation of what God has promised, because our confidence is not swayed by what we see, what we feel, what someone says. Amen. Because why? We have confidence in Jesus Christ and everything he's done. Hallelujah. Andre Crouch, one of my favorite songwriters, wrote a song years ago. I've got confidence God is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's going to fix it for me. We've got confidence in him. And the writer of Hebrews tells us this morning, that we have that confidence. He said that confidence is very, very important. Rest does not mean inactivity. Rest does not mean inactivity, but rather continuing to work and move forward with our daily lives while letting go of stress and anxiety. Turn to somebody and say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Man, it's amazing how the enemy wants to work and attack us with stress. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? Amen. The devil's main weapon against us is condemnation, guilt, and shame. And he wants to bring stress in our lives through these areas of guilt, condemnation, and shame, and try to wear down the confidence that we have. But I want to tell you this morning, he is defeated. Amen. And as a believer, you have authority. And you have to take what you have. So many people are waiting for God to do something when God says, no, I'm waiting for you to act on what I've already done. And we act on what he's already done by confessing his word, amen, out of our mouth, and believing in the promises that God has already committed to us. That builds up our confidence and allows our souls to be at rest in him. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, turn to somebody and say, are you resting today? Are you resting this morning? Amen. Some of you wanting to sleep, I know. I'm resting, Pastor. Amen. Oh, praise God. I have to preach really good today because I have to wake some of you up this morning. Amen. You're like, oh, I'm on that time, man. Don't let that time thing bother you. Amen. We're not subject to this world. We're subject to the Word. Hallelujah. Somebody said, man, I don't know how you did it, Pastor. You worked all the time. You got in at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and you'd get up and teach and carry. How do you do that? I said, you know, by God's strength. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Man, precious to us. Hallelujah. So he says, the writer of Hebrews says, don't throw away, don't cast away that confidence, because there's a reward to that. Amen? Amen. Don't throw it away. Don't cast it away. He said, you have need of patience so that when you've done God's will, patience is defined as constantly, consistently remaining the same. Constantly and consistently. You know, we have friends. We went down and visited them in Florida. And maybe you guys have some friends like this you can relate to. We haven't seen them in several years, but as soon as we go back and see them, we pick up right where we left off. They are constantly, consistently the same. And God says that's how we are to be in the confidence that we have in his finished work. That we're constantly, consistently the same towards what God has done for us. You know, so many people are trying to get God to do something for them, and God says, no, I've done it. You just respond to what I've done. Faith is a response to what God's done. Oh, amen. So the scripture provides some strategies on how to develop confidence in God. Number one, renew your mind. Where's the battle at? The battle's right here. The battle is in your head. Amen. That's where the enemy attacks, is in your mind. And so many people allow the enemy to come in and distract them, amen, in their mind and get their mind off of all that God has promised them. And he'll do that through condemnation where, oh, I didn't pray enough today. You know what? God loves you. He ain't going to change God because you didn't pray enough today. He ain't going to change his love for you one iota. He loves you the same whether you didn't pray for a week. Amen. But it's amazing how people will fall under such condemnation from the enemy. And condemnation can bring out all kinds of things in your life. Folks, I'm going to tell you, condemnation is over for the believer. Amen. That's why Paul said it so strongly in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. We have no longer under condemnation. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we walk in that righteousness, and that righteousness gives us power over the enemy trying to throw darts at us. Turn to somebody, he says, he's preaching to you right now. I want to read Romans 12, 1 and 2 out of the Amplified. Can I do that? Listen to what it says. Declare, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Declare your bodies as a living sacrifice. Declare your bodies. This body is the temple of God. It's a living sacrifice. Why? How could something be alive and dead? Well, it's alive to God. Amen. But dead when it comes to the things of the flesh. Amen. We are alive to God, but now the old nature has died. We are not dying. Amen. We are dead in Christ Jesus. We've been buried and hidden in him. Hallelujah. You have a new nature, a new spirit, all brand new. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen. So, consecrated and pleasing to God, which is your rational and intelligent and spiritual worship. I love that. Rational and intelligent. Did you get that? Do not be conformed to the world, but be what? Transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you may perform and accomplish God's will. Wow. Transforming our mind to perform what God's word has said. We take this mind and we begin to focus and transform it by God's word. And when God's word comes in, we allow that spirit to change our mind, that word to change our mind. What we used to do, we no longer do now because we've had now the mind of Christ. Amen. We have a whole renewal system going on here. Hello? So, confess the word. Not only do you renew your mind, but you confess the word of God with your mouth, and it's a powerful arsenal that that people don't use. Confessing of God's word is what we do. When Jesus saw the fig tree, and he was expecting to receive fruit on it, hello, and he passed by, and there wasn't any fruit on it, he spoke to it and said, and he cursed that fig tree. Amen. That fig tree was talking to him, but he opened up his mouth and he cursed it. You know what? You have power and authority as a believer in your mouth. And when you begin to see the enemy distracting your mind away with the cares of this life and the things of this life, you need to take your authority, amen, and utilize it and speak against what's going on. Don't sit idly by and say, oh, well, oh, it's okay. It's going to be all right. No, you get into that word and you say, God, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke these things. Hallelujah. And I take authority over them. And I know I have a clear mind, God. I have a clear body. I am the healed of the Lord. Whatever your need is, you speak it out of your mouth. Come on, somebody. Amen. Too many times we just allow the enemy to beat us up and don't take our rightful authority. You've got authority this morning. Use it. Use it or lose it, baby. Use it. Amen. Use the authority God's given you. Anybody ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Man, awesome man of God. Smith Wigglesworth tells this story. One day he was waiting for a bus at a bus stop, and he said, I was sitting there on this bench, and I was waiting. He said, I saw this little lady coming down the street, and she was walking down the street, and said a little dog was following her. And said this little dog was following her, you know, and she turned around, and she said, now go on home, and kind of motioned to the little dog, started walking, you know, and dog was following again. She said, now go on home. You know, little dog still following her. Finally, she said, hey, go on home. And he turned around and left. That's your authority as a believer. When the enemy starts playing with your mind, you say, get on home. Get out of here, boy, in the name of Jesus. Don't put up with things when stress starts coming into your life or you're feeling overwhelmed. Speak out that word with authority. Hallelujah. You've got it as a believer. Use it. Amen. Because it is an arsenal against the enemy. Amen. We have confidence in him today because we have authority as a believer this morning. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves and said to it. Why did he say to it? Because it was talking to it. He said to it because it was speaking to him. Hello? Amen. And so what do? You do the same thing that Jesus does. Say to it, when things start speaking to you, confess out, get that word out of your mouth. Let it change your situation. The word spoken will change every situation. The word spoken will change any situation in your life. The reason people aren't healed because they don't speak their healing. They don't take their authority. They don't say with their mouth, God, I am healed. Amen. The reason people aren't prospering because they don't take their authority. They're waiting for God to do something. No, take your authority. God says, I've given you that authority. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 10:23. Hold fast the profession of our faith. Hold fast to it. Profess it. Get it out. Hallelujah. What is your faith? Your faith is his word. Get that word out of your mouth. Let it go forth with authority and power. Don't allow the enemy to beat you up every day. Every moment. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Don't allow that to take place. Get it out of your mouth. Amen. Stand on that word boldly and say, hey, I've got authority. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I release that authority, and I know you have to flee out of my mind today. Amen. Don't put things in front of you that's going to cause the enemy to speak to you or give that open door. Amen. Close that door. Take your authority. Live in the Spirit. Amen. Live in his grace. Praise God. Hallelujah. And operate out of that refreshing of the Holy Spirit in your life. Praise God. Look at Mark 11:23. Whoever commands the mountain to be removed and cast out into the sea and has no doubt in their heart, has confidence in their heart, amen, hallelujah, will have whatever they want. Whatever they want. We don't have because we don't say. Turn to somebody and say, did you get that? Say, we don't have because we don't say. We don't have because we don't say. We don't have because we don't say. Sometimes we think it, but we don't say it. Psalm 107, verse 2, one of my favorite verses. What does it say? Let the redeemed of the Lord. Who's redeemed this morning? Anybody redeemed? Let the redeemed. Guys, I know this is very practical today, but here's where we miss it. We do not connect this with our lives. A lot of times we'll read the word, we'll get in the word, and all of that is great. We want to read the word. We want to study the word. But I'm telling you, your confession is so vitally important. When you get up in the morning, you need to have you some confessions in your life and just begin to confess over your family the blessings and the grace of God. Hallelujah. Allow your day to start good with the good word, and getting it out of your mouth, it just seems to be that connector. Amen. And when you do that, man, there's a manifestation taking place. You set forth that word in your life. You set forth those things out of your mouth. The Bible says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Amen. He said, I set before you today life and death. And he says, he gives you the answer to the question I said. He says, choose what? Choose life. And so say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from what? How did he redeem it from the hand of the enemy? By saying so. Amen. By saying so, by getting it out of your mouth. Man, in the morning, Holly and I get up, and she's so good. She just gets the word out, and she starts reading the word. We just start confessing and thanking God. And man, just do that. Make that a routine in your life. It's a good routine. You don't have to be religious about it. Don't be religious about it. Amen. Please don't be religious about it. Amen. But you just find it just flows natural out of you. Amen. And as you do that, things begin to manifest in your life. You find that stress goes away. You find that worry goes away. You find that the goodness of God is showing up in your life. Hallelujah. That favor's coming in your life. Oh, thank you, God, for all those things. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I love that. Let the redeemed, who has redeemed us. The enemy, only power the enemy has is what you give him. It's all been broken at the cross and the resurrection. People say, well, the devil. Well, who is he? What's up? What's up with him? He is defeated. He has no legs to stand on. Defeated. You'll get that later on. Some of you are still trying to wake up, I know. Can you guys give me a few more minutes this morning? Meditate on God's word. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. Joshua 1:8, the book of God's word shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate it day and night and see that you do everything written in it. This is Old Testament, of course. But what he's saying, the principle is still the same. First Timothy 4:15, meditate on these things and give yourself completely to them. The word meditate, how many's ever see a cow chew his cud? Anybody ever see that? Any farmers in here? Anybody been around a cow? You know, a cow, they're so funny because they're sitting there and they're chewing for a little bit and then they swallow. And then come back up and they chew a little bit more, then they swallow. Come back up and they chew a little more, then they swallow. You know, it's their digestive process. And so here's the thing. With us, it's the same way. Allow that word to get so in your spirit, man, and really in your soul, man. Allow that word to get in your soul's rim and begin to chew on it and then get it back up, chew on it some more, get it back up, chew on it some more, get it back up, chew on it some more until it becomes such a reality to you. Such a reality. Hallelujah. Man, for with God nothing is impossible. Such a reality. For by his stripes I am healed. Such a reality. Lord, I desire that I prosper, and I do. My soul prospers. Hallelujah. And I'm in health. Praise God. Amen. Such a reality. Every area of my life is prospering. Praise God. Everywhere I go, I have favor. Praise the Lord. Man, get it in your spirit. Get it in your mind. Get it in your soulish rim. Amen. I'm trying to hurry, guys. Pray. Prayer is good. But you know, so many times people get so religious about prayer. You know, I know a lady, and her main goal in life is to pray. And that's it. And I guess if you got a calling to it, it's a good thing. But, I mean, it's like, man, I find it can be so religious, and people make it a religious thing. Don't be religious in your prayers. Jesus prayed short prayers and saw mighty things happen. Jesus set the example. Lazarus, come forth. That was a prayer. Prayer of authority. Amen. Stretch forth your hand. Man, just simple prayers. But we stay connected all the time through prayer. The Bible says, pray without what? Ceasing. You can pray while you're doing your dishes. You can pray while you're driving. I mean, man, you can, and praying in the Spirit is utmost. Praying in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith. Hallelujah. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're building up your most holy faith. Man, praying in the Spirit is awesome. And then, you know, when you pray in the Spirit, pray for an interpretation. When you pray in the Spirit, pray for an interpretation. God wants to speak to you directly. Turn to somebody and say, really? God does. He wants to speak to you directly. You can pray in the Spirit, amen, and receive that interpretation. God directs our lives through the Spirit. We are Spirit-led. You are Spirit this morning. Amen. You are born again Spirit. 100% wall-to-wall Holy Spirit in your spirit. Amen. Perfect in your spirit. Perfected, full of grace, full of love, full of joy, full of peace. Amen. Where? In your spirit. Your soul may be whacked, but your spirit is perfect. Some of us have a whacked soul. God, and that's where the transformation comes in. Because, you know, that's bad. And we need that. We need that transformation. I confess. Amen. We need that. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. There's an old song we used to sing in kids' church. He's still working on me. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Where is he working at? Not in my spirit. My spirit is perfect, man. Woo! Thank God for that. My soul might be off at times, but my spirit is perfect. But I get my mind back over here on what God's word has promised. Hallelujah. I begin to meditate on it. I begin to allow it to transform my life. I begin to allow it to impact my life. And all of a sudden, my walk is different, not because of effort, but because of his grace and the impact of his word upon my mind. And my mind becomes renewed to all that God has promised me in his word. And all of a sudden, instead of being so stressed about stuff and worried about that bill or worried about this situation or worried about my kids, I'm just saying, God, I thank you because I'm in favor with you and my mind is lined up with your word and I'm confessing it out of my mouth and I've got confidence and I'm resting in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if you have kids, they will cause stress to come in your life. And if you have grandkids, that's a different story. So, amen. Praise God. Ours didn't bring, I mean, I am so thankful. My wife did an amazing job of raising our kids. I mean, really, it's like they never went through any rebellion that we didn't know of. So, hallelujah. And it was the greatest experience I could ever think of being a dad. I mean, it was just awesome, but I credit so much of that to my girl here. She did an amazing job. But guys, I'm telling you, you know, we get so worried about kids and worried about this and worried about that. Man, God does not want you to worry. Let me close with one more scripture here. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. Here's where really I think so many people are. Here's where it happens. Casting all your care upon him. Now that word casting, it's really to throw it. Just release it, throw it on him. Here's where people miss it. The very next point of this. Look what it says. For he what? When you don't know how much God loves you, it's hard to trust him. And it's hard to have the confidence to cast the cares on him. Because, you know, sometimes I'm a control freak. Is anybody else like that? Come on, just me? All you guys are lying. You're all a bunch of liars. How many of y'all have a flipper at home? A remote. How many of you men have a remote control? Who owns that? Who owns that? The men. Yeah. We own that remote. You try to get a remote control, women, if you try to get a remote control out of a man, it ain't happening, baby. He's got that thing. Amen. Control freak, man. I got my remote, man. You do not mess with me today. I got my remote. It gives guys power. They love their remote, man. You guys are in love with your remote, man. You know that's. Amen. But if you have that tendency, it's really hard to let go. And the reason is we don't know how much God loves us, how much we can trust in him because he's so good. He is so good. He is so good. And when you know God's unconditional love, because most of us were raised in this environment of religion and, you know, it's like God's out to get me. And that's what we were raised in. God is out to get me. Listen, your whole life changes when you know God's unconditional love. When you know, even when you blow it, that God still loves you and you're not disconnected. Wow. When you know that God still cares for you in spite of yourself and he's going to take care of you, you just throw it on. It's so much easier to throw it on him. I was taking flying lessons many years ago, and I was in a little, I think it was 152, and with a young buck instructor. And I wasn't that old. I was 30, but he was young kid, real show-off kid, you know, wanting to show off. And he'd just probably gotten his instructor's license. So, you know, anyway, we went flying lesson, and so we were up, and we were practicing power on stalls, which is when you take off in a plane, and if you pull back so much on that plane taking off, the plane will stall, and if you don't know how to recover, it'll crash. And so so we were practicing these, and these required, I think it was 30-degree bank, and then you pull it back, and you have full power, and you let the plane stall. And the thing is, on those particular stalls, there's a little ball in the plane that tells you you're lined up evenly, so, you know, it stalls like this. And you have to keep that ball in the center while you're flying in that coordination, because if you don't, the plane's flying uncoordinated and it'll go over into a spin. And spins are not good. So so we were up and we were practicing, and, you know, and I'm a pretty new pilot, and he said, okay, let's do a power on stall. So, you know, full power, pull it back, 30-degree bank, hold it. Little buzz goes off, stall warning. And I didn't have that ball centered with my feet through the rudders. And all of a sudden, instead of just stalling and going back down and then push full power and then you recover, no problem. You know, well, it went just like this, all the way over. Now, we were up about 3,500 feet, so we had plenty of room. But, you know, it's like all the way over. And all of a sudden, out of the windshield, I see the ground. And we're going in a spin like this. So, me and my brilliance, I let go of the controls. And we're like, whoa! I'm like, just like, man. And this guy's sitting there as calm as a cucumber. I'm going, whoa! You know, and all of a sudden we went through one rotation and then it straightened right out. And I'm like, whoa! And he said, okay, full power, let's go. And I'm going, take me back to the airport. Amen. Oh, my gosh. And he said, what did you learn from that? And I said, I don't know. You tell me. He said, well, here's the thing. He said, you know, most people have the tendency is when this happens, and I've seen it happen before, is they want to immediately grab that yoke and pull back as hard as they can again. And he says, what that does when you're in a spin, it just tightens up the spin. It causes it to restall. He said, what you did is you let go of the yoke, and he says the plane was aerodynamically designed to fly. He says, so you let go of the yoke, and the plane straightened up and did what it's supposed to do. And I'm thinking, okay, isn't that the way we are? When you let go, some of you need to let go this morning. When you let go, because you know what? You're designed to fly. You're not supposed to crash. Not supposed to have a nervous breakdown. Hello. Not supposed to have, you know, taking all this anxiety medicine, supposed to be sleeping at night. Hello? Listen to me. Some of you got, you know, a lot of sugar going on. That might help get out of your diet or some caffeine, but amen. But listen, God loves you this morning, and he wants you to know that, amen, and you need to let go. Because here's the next, listen to the next verse. A lot of times we take stuff and we just read it. But put up 1 Peter 5:8. Look at the verse following this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Put up verse 7 again. What was the preceding verse? Cast all your cares on him, because he cares, because he unconditionally loves you. Amen. And when you do that, you give no place to the enemy. No, you didn't hear what I'm saying. When you do that, you give no place to the enemy. Casting your cares on God gives no place for the enemy to work in your life. Stand this morning. Amen. Praise God. Give God some praise today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, how do we cast our cares on him? You confess it. You get it out of your mouth. You speak it out. Praise God. Raise up your hand this morning. Amen. Father, thank you today for your extraordinary love for us. God, you've lavished us with your love. Hallelujah. God, we are so blessed this morning. Oh, God, we just give you the praise today, the glory today. God, I know many people are tired in their bodies, but God, we are refreshed in our souls today. Hallelujah. The Bible says he restoreth my soul. God, you're restoring us today. You're restoring our mind. You're restoring the peace, God. You're restoring the wholeness there, God. Lord, you're transforming us right now. And we give you praise for it. God, we've been washed with your word this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe we're all believers here this morning, so I want us to confess out of our mouth some confessions today. Say with Pastor this morning, I'm blessed. My spirit is made righteous in Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Today, I confess out of my mouth, the peace of God rules my mind and my heart. Today, I receive all the benefits that came with the cross. The new covenant. Everything's been supplied for me. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, I have in my spirit. I receive everything. I confess out of my mouth any anxiety, any worry, any burden, I give it to the Lord. I can do that confidently because he loves me today. My life has changed. My mind is being renewed. My soul is being refreshed. No more stress. No more worry. God's got my kids. He's got my finances. He's taking care of me better than I can take care of myself. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, find some people this morning. Tell them you love them today. You are a blessed people. Praise God. You are that it's taking naps. Now you can wake up. Amen. Praise God.